Hello, and welcome to Book Reviews Kill, a podcast about fantasy, sci-fi, and horror novels. I'm Evan.
And I'm Chad.
And I'm Zoran.
And you're joining us today for our recap and discussion of A Deadly Education, book one in the Scholomance by Naomi Novik. We are also delighted to have Zoran on with us. Zoran, welcome to Book Reviews Kill.
Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, it's such a delight. Zoran is a fantastic book content creator on TikTok and Instagram. We'll be sure to put all of her stuff up in the description for this episode so you listeners can go check her out for sure. But we are here to talk about Scholomance. We're here to talk about A Deadly Education by Naomi Novik. I thought it was okay. I don't know. Like, I didn't love it. I didn't hate it at all. There were lots of parts of it that I thought were really inventive and really unique and really awesome. And I was sitting there reading and I was like, oh, this is so cool. And then other parts where my eyes kind of glazed over and I was a little overloaded, I should say, with just so much. So I'm going to go ahead and just use the phrase info dumping. Like, it felt like it was info dumping quite a bit. What did you two think about it?
I did not like it.
Like, at all?
There were moments where I was like, oh, this is really cool. And it tended to be the moments where things were actually happening with the plot. But the majority of this book was vibes. And I did not know that going in, because the way the book is described, it's like, okay, we're in this magical school of wizardry. We're following the student L. She's learning how to be a wizard. And the school is also actively trying to kill her and everyone in there. But I didn't know that this was going to be like a 12-hour journal ranting, stream of consciousness style of book. I didn't love the delivery of it.
Okay, Chad, what did you think? Because I can feel Chad really chomping at the bit to say, let's hear it.
Okay.
Let's hear it.
Vibe is, I feel like, kind of the right and both the wrong word, right? Like, when Evan and I talk about Harry Potter, we're always talking about, like, the vibe juice, like, that good, like, between events and the time, like, that you're really just kind of getting to know the characters. This, I certainly didn't enjoy those times nearly as much, obviously, but, like, I did super enjoy it. And then why it's not a vibe is they're also being, like, attacked during those times, so it was, like, vibe and then violent vibe. And I am glad that I'm here because I really liked it. I thought it was a breath of fresh air. Could be because it was only like 300 and whatever pages long. It was a little info dumpy, but like how much dump can you do in 300 pages, you know? And so
apparently
I just,
a lot.
So much
I
dump.
Tore through it and I thought it was pretty unique. Like, I love the school trope a lot, as I'm sure like me and every other fantasy novel reader. But I thought this was a pretty unique twist on it. I have a lot of questions about the world. I definitely have some criticisms, and there's some holes in my understanding that might like bring the world to its knees, like the whole premise a little bit might falter a little bit as we proceed here, but I really enjoyed my page by page experience.
Sure. I mean, I think that definitely one thing to remember when, you know, every time we're starting a new series is, yeah, I mean, there's some things about the world build that I was kind of like scratching my head at, but also we're in the first book. There's three books. I think more things are going to get explained. There's probably some mysteries being kind of like withheld, some answers being withheld to some of the questions that we might have from this book. So, yeah, I mean, I think we've been, especially like with some of our like bigger, more complicated stories and stuff, we've definitely been kind of like given our comeuppance in like the second or third episode where we're like, why the hell would that happen? And then it's like totally answered for us and we feel
right, like 100%.
But yeah, I think some questions about the world for sure. I did really like Elle as a character. The journal
that's
entry
the one thing I didn't like.
It's interesting. Yeah, I'd really like to talk about that after the recap for sure. I rarely do this, but like, I think if I was going to rate this book on like a 10 scale of like how I felt about it, I just put it like right at a 6. Good enough to finish, but like it just felt like a little bit of a chore to read it, but very, very inventive, I think is a good word for it, for sure.
That's, I think, just, inventive is a good word.
That's to sum it up before we get to the recap, at least.
Final thoughts before we recap, Zoran?
I'll save them for the discussion.
Sure, yeah, okay. That's always a good idea.
How about I love that you loved it, Chad.
No,
I
love, okay, cool. Love is a little strong, but I definitely liked it a lot.
I'm going to go get some water. Do your thing, Chad.
Okay. Elle is a student in her junior year. In flashbacks, she reveals that her father sacrificed himself during graduation so that her mother, Gwen, then pregnant, could escape. However, Gwen and Elle were rejected by her father's family when Elle's great-great-grandmother, a famous seer, prophesied that Elle would become a powerful maleficer. who would destroy enclaves. Gwen refused to believe this would happen and raised El to never use Malia, the magic that is drawn from unwilling living beings. Although Gwen is a powerful healer and would be welcome in almost any enclave, she has declined to join one. El has therefore resolved to win a place herself while at school. El struggles with her schoolwork, as much of what the school provides for her to learn is black magic, suitable for violence and destruction, apparently confirming the prophecy. In addition, most people seem to instinctively dislike her and avoid her, and she has difficulty making friends. She comes to the attention of Orion Lake, a boy from the New York Enclave who is both extremely popular because of his proclivity for saving his fellow students from attacks, and unusual due to his ability to make mana from killing Mals. Orion initially suspects El of being a Maleficer who murdered one of their classmates. However, due to his close observation of her, he happens to see her getting attacked by the actual student who killed their classmate. He intervenes and kills the attacking student and saves El. He and El develop a somewhat tenuous and antagonistic friendship. Once the two begin spending time together, other students become far more warmly disposed to El. Cynical about those students' motives, El takes care to remain friendly with the few people who showed her any kindness beforehand, and shares her new advantages with them. In this way, she becomes closer with her classmates, Adia and Lou. One day, while El is studying with Orion in the library, students in the reading room are attacked by several Mals at once, and Orion rushes to save them. El follows more cautiously and spots a Mawmouth leaving the library, heading towards the defenseless freshman dorms. A Mawmouth is an unusually dangerous Mal, which does not kill its victims, but keeps them alive after consuming their soul, trapping their victims within, where they anguish in eternal suffering, unable to fully die. A fate which El has particular reason to fear, since her father was eaten by one during his graduation. Moreover, they are virtually impossible to destroy, even with an entire circle of wizards, but El suspects that her extraordinary aptitude for destruction might make her capable of it individually. Although killing the Mals in the reading room would give her the opportunity to show off her talents and prove that she would be an asset to an enclave, El chooses to destroy the Mawmouth and save the freshman, despite the danger and the lack of witnesses. She realizes that she is disgusted by the system of privilege the enclavers enjoy at the expense of independent wizards' lives, and will not join an enclave after graduation. As such, it is safer for her to conceal her powers lest she be seen as a threat. She tells only Adia and Lou, and the three of them form a graduation alliance for the following year. In the weeks leading up to their junior graduation, Elle and her companions begin to find damages to the school, and determine that Orion is the cause. By saving so many students, he has disrupted the Mal's food chain, causing those remaining to be hungrier and more desperate. Accordingly, the senior class believe they will be facing an unusually difficult graduation, and the unusual amount of Mal's threaten to breach the school's defenses entirely, loosing the Maleficaria to feast on the more vulnerable younger students and allowing the seniors to escape more easily. Elle and her friends instead propose that on graduation day, a team of artificer students should repair the long-defunct machinery installed to cleanse the hall every year, an endeavor previously believed too dangerous to be worth attempting. Elle and Orion descend with the team and fight off the attacking Mals, allowing the artificers to do their work. Once the senior students say the machinery is repaired, they run for the gates, and Elle and Orion return to the school, with no way of knowing whether the plan worked. That afternoon, during induction, an incoming freshman brings Elle a rare note from her mother. She happily tears into it, excited to hear from her mother. The book ends with the letter, but not before setting an ominous tone as the final line warns Elle that whatever she does, she should stay away from her fellow classmate, Orion.
All right, so I want to start this off by, you know, showering this book with a little bit of praise, because I do think that, for one thing, the sequel setup there is pretty solid. You know what I mean? Like, good, kind of like, oh, be careful about Orion. You know, like,
I mean, kind of.
It was a little predictable, but like, you know,
it was just
like,
kind of random.
I don't know. I thought it was like, kind of predictable.
What's one thing that would totally mess her up?
I guess so. Yeah.
And like, why wouldn't you tell her why? Sorry, I'm totally getting into what you're like. Keep going.
No, that's a totally valid question. But like, I do really like how there was like a couple like pretty definite arcs here, especially with like, we have an arc with L, and then we also have an arc with the general kind of like population of the school in a sense, because, you know, like, I feel like there's a lot of like individualistic tendencies here, mixed with like quite a bit of like anxiety and like, you know, fickle kind of like
constant fear of death.
Well, there's like the constant fear of death for sure, but everybody kind of like splitting off into cliques and like enclaves and like what their parents did and all this stuff. But like, you know, eventually, like a lot of people do have to kind of like work together at the end of this book to kind of like save this institution. And then like L kind of like changes quite a bit over the course of the book as well, from being like this kind of like almost like shut in, kind of like set in her ways, like very kind of like bitter about her situation. At least in my mind, she's bitter about her situation while super. Being like very self-aware of her situation, and then kind of like grows through that into somebody who might be willing to collaborate and kind of like work through with other people, like her, I guess you could call it an affliction, but I'm not going to call it that for lack of a better word. But I do think that, yeah, like as clunky as I think the delivery was with the narration, and like the huge info dumps and stuff like that, I do think that like the bones of this story are pretty like gracefully arced up into the second book. So that's like my little spiel.
I feel like it's going to come up multiple times, so I want to define the affliction that you mentioned, which it sure, could yeah. be totally called that, but I'm going to call it her affinity, because it's really right, just her yeah. magical affinity, which is she has the ability, and correct me if I got this wrong, please, both of you, she has the ability to, without even thinking of it, it's in fact the path of least resistance, because in order to perform magic, these wizards and... Is there a distinction between wizards and witches, or is it just everyone's a wizard?
I think they're all wizards.
Okay. Yeah. In order to perform their magic spells, the wizards in this book have to have mana, and typically they get it from like working out, or there's a bunch of different ways that you can get it that's not bad, but she has the affinity to just rip it from the life forces around her, which is like the bad form of mana called Maleficaria.
No,
well, there's Malia.
Malia, thank you. Yeah. That's what it is. That's like the bad magic. Yeah. And she has the ability to just like take that from anybody, which will kill them and like suck their life force dry. And so she has to constantly not be using what she's really good at, so she doesn't kill her fellow students. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Kind of has the potential to be a weapon of mass destruction.
Yeah, that's the way that she's like, I could level cities if I.
Does she know that? Let's talk about that a little bit.
Know that. Yeah. And I was just thinking, just fucking do it. I see it.
Well, yeah. There's even time. Okay, yeah.
Put your mana where your mouth is.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think before we started recording, Zoran had kind of mentioned something about, and I wanted to hear more of your thoughts on this, Zoran, but like how you found it frustrating that like the narrator kind of already knew everything. Can you go on a little bit more about that?
Yeah, definitely. And normal... It's because I feel like there's different... I've read books where the narrator already knows everything.
Yeah, it's not example, always bad or anything.
No, yeah. Like, for example, when books are told with, like, a frameshift narrative, like The Name of the Wind, where it's Quoth telling you the story that's already happened to him. But, of course, that's, like, past tense. But in this instance, L is kind of telling you the story of what's going on in the present tense in a very stream of conscious kind of way. And I felt like the way she was delivering us information, she already knew everything. And so these info dumps that we get, capital I info dumps, if that's what we're going to call them,
mm-hmm.
they're told to me, I felt like I was being lectured. And it took me back to the days when I was in college and I had to like cram for an exam and I couldn't retain any of the information that I was being told because the professor sucked. And so whatever Elle was telling us, I felt like I wasn't absorbing it. And because we weren't learning alongside our main character, it was very frustrating for me. And I think it's also a reason why like this book is not what I expected at all.
I think that one of the reasons that I was kind of frustrated with what you're talking about, and I agree with you, is like I felt like when L did get into kind of like info dump mode, it felt like it kind of jumped around a lot. It felt like she was kind of talking about one thing, and then a few paragraphs later, we're like on this entire other thing.
Yeah.
And it's like it doesn't even really wrap back around to like make that kind of like a connected thought or like anything cohesive. It just like keeps going onto a different thing. And then some events happen and it's like, okay, cool.
Exactly right. Because I feel like whenever she went on these tangents, it brought the whatever was happening in the story currently to a complete halt. And by the time she was done with her tangent, I couldn't remember what was actually happening.
Yeah.
Because totally. It felt like, I listened to the audiobook, but it felt like these tangents, info dumps, went on for minutes. And I listened to the book at like 2x speed. And these chapters were already long as balls.
They're really long. Yeah.
I was really interested in the world and the surrounding area, and I wanted to know more of the entire book. So while I don't feel that they were like excessively lengthy, I do 100% agree in that we were totally told, not shown, which is like a big difference between like Harry Potter and this. Like Harry Potter, it's like relevant information when you're learning the spells and they're like little tiffs going on with Malfoy and stuff. This was just like you said, a little tangent. Worse than that, it was not only a initially relevant tangent explaining something, it was then, I felt like Naomi Novik, who knows obviously a lot about this world that she created, would kind of go on these like, and check out how cool all these other things are that are like kind of related to the last thing. But before we end that, we're like way off in La La Land and it's not even relevant. And so I don't, like you said, kind of remember or retain it because it's not relevant when it's told to me.
And I was like, because it felt like we were getting some of this like irrelevant information, it was just like, okay, when do I need to know this? Or like, what part of the test is this going to be on? Because there would be times when she'd be talking about like some kind of spell in some language that she was learning. And then she would talk about like all 16 steps that you'd have to be like, then you have to do this. And then you have to get this medal. And then you have to say these words. And then you have to like make sure your feet are turned at this like position. I don't know. I'm just making stuff up right now, but it's just like
not far off from the real reality.
Yeah. But then I'm like, why do I need to do this? Just do the thing, please. You don't have to tell me how everything works. And I get, like, in fantasy books, I always expect that there's a ratio of, like, telling information and showing the reader information. Because, like, sometimes you just can't get away with that. Like, sometimes you totally. Just tell the reader, like, this is what it is. This is how it is. This is why it is. And that's that. The way she delivered the information to us was not...
Even when it could have been shown to us, it was still told to us.
What food metaphor would you use here? It was not yummy. It wasn't delicious.
I mean, maybe it was kind of like pineapple on pizza, just worthless and disgusting and ruins the whole pizza even after you take the pineapple off. It wasn't
Chad
actually
really
that
hates,
bad. I mean,
Chad
I don't feel,
really hates pineapple on pizza. Like
I don't feel as vehement about the info dumping as I do about pineapple on pizza, but I totally agree with what you're saying. And like I said, to me it reflected kind of like an author who was just like super excited about telling us this world, which I really kind of liked some of it, but then like you're saying, it was just like, okay, right, but now let's get back to the story.
One of the things, I mean, I think the reason that it was so grating for me is because like there were just certain points, and it's not like this for the entire book, but there was just certain points where like I felt action kind of like mounting, and then it kind of like did this big dump, and it's like, dude, you're kind of like taking away a little bit from this moment a little bit, like with the Ma Mouth, you know what I mean? It's like in that moment, it's like, oh, here's all the crazy shit that Ma Mouths do. And it's like, you know, and I'm not trying to rewrite the book or anything, but it's just like, you know what might have worked is if you had like kind of like this organic conversation about these Ma Mouths and then this scene happened.
Right, behind the scene,
you know
yeah.
what I mean? Like I was like just barely trying to keep up with like what was actually going on and like these big long descriptions of what I needed to be concerned about.
A story about her dad.
Yeah, and it's all like crammed into like one thing, and it's just like, this is like an overload, man. I don't know what to care about right now. Like I don't know like what is super important. But also though, the Ma Mouth, really cool. Really cool
Pretty
idea.
Cool. Like a mobile
scary. It was scary. Like
it was scary. Monster.
Yeah, yeah, like the idea of being like constantly digested like that and like just in terrible agony, like for like man, and like the way that she talked about the way that she like wrote it out too was actually like pretty cool. The actual words that she used, where it was like nobody knows if the consciousness stops or like something like that. I think that was the phrase that she used.
Totally.
So it's like her
word choice.
Descriptions
are real well, nice. Like my words are not.
Wow, those are
her descriptions are goodly great. But I did, okay, I was able
bigly
I was
descriptions
able to visual see everything that she was talking about.
Oh my god, dude. Sorry, that was great. Good job.
No, I really liked her ability to describe things like the magic spells, the attacking monsters, like when we see the throng of the packed monsters in like the graduation hall and stuff. I was able to visualize that pretty well. I was also able to feel the danger. Like I felt like there was like a very heavy sense, almost a flippant sense of like kids are dying often. Like it mentions like out of 900 graduating seniors, like 100 or like half typically make it. And because of the excessive monsters due to Orion saving everybody, which I didn't really get, I have some questions on. There was like only 100 or so that were going to make it, which is a crazy amount. And that kind of is a nice segue into, can you guys help me understand this school a little bit?
I was just about to ask if like, can we talk about structure of this institution?
Yeah, institution, more like nightmare land.
So I don't think that I think some kids just kind of end up here, don't they?
They just zap. Like,
wasn't there one that
zapping?
Wasn't there one like the girl that was that Jack had murdered? Didn't she like kind of end up there? Like it wasn't her parents or something? Did I misread something?
She was not the really daughter of two Muggles, essentially this world's version of them, and that was rare.
Oh, so maybe it was like a way of speaking, not that she actually did just zap into there, but she ended up there in like the way that people kind of end up in circumstances that they don't really want to be in. But it seems like a lot of these kids like don't really want to be here, you know? This isn't Hogwarts. Like this isn't like a prestigious, like exciting, like fun, quirky
school. The teachers
school.
Are afraid to be there.
There's no
they're not even
there's no teachers at all there.
No teachers, shocking.
Yeah, I thought that was a pretty
cool.
It's
all self-guided study.
Yeah, which is how I would want to go to college personally.
It's I mean, it's very pretty effective, everything. Right? It's driven by fear. It's like, if you don't learn this, you'll die.
But at the same time, like, I know a lot of people comp this as like adult Harry Potter.
I don't see it. Yeah.
Neither do I. I was not getting those vibes at all.
No, you just said it was vibey. And I was trying to draw comparisons at the beginning in between like the vibey, like in classroom times and where this one was more just like fraught with danger. But like, and as an actual comparison to Harry Potter, like, no, it's not.
One thing that's really cool about the school is the idea that all the classes are set in place, but all of the dorms kind of like revolve around the classes until the graduating class gets to the bottom where all the monsters are. That's like freaking awesome, man.
Like, they can hear like the cogs ticking away.
Such a good idea. Like, that's really, really cool. And like all of these kids know that they're kind of like over the years, like headed for certain almost like death by being torn apart by magical monsters. Like, damn, Naomi Novak, like that's a pretty fucking stellar idea. Like, that's really, really cool. But yeah, as far as like the school and like the kids in it and like all the teachers and stuff, I guess I don't really, in my mind, I'm like, where is it? Like, how do they get there?
What's
like
in a pocket dimension?
But like, how do they get there?
I have no idea. That was my question. Is like, do they enroll at the school? Is it a choice thing?
Doesn't seem just like they can just walk through the front doors.
Yeah, like, do they take a train, you know?
Right.
They solve
one minor mystery at the end of this book, and that when the end of 1 year happened, the next year immediately started. So, like, this is not a go home for vacation. Once you're in, you're not leaving until, I'm pretty sure, the senior year. Like, there's no summer, no holiday. You're just there the whole time. But I don't know, and I think it's kind of important as to whether or not this is voluntary or deliberate to go to the school.
There's a point where I just turned my brain off and I did not remember any of those details.
I looked. Yeah. I don't know if it was answered. And that was, I guess, one of the things that, like, while I really enjoyed this book, there was like some major glaring holes. Like, I was probably 50, 60, 70 pages in before I was like, where are the adults? Like, where? Yeah. And then it was like finally explained to me that, like, there is no adults here. It's kind of, like you said, a self-led sort of thing. So while there was a lot of info dumping, it wasn't the info that I wanted or felt like I needed, really.
No,
sometimes.
That's kind of towards frustrating. Like, that's kind of to Zoran's point of it being like all like it. It's like it was kind of like a bad teacher, like giving you too much, which turns into an overload where you don't really know anything.
Right.
Yeah. What was I supposed to be studying? What was I supposed to be prioritizing on bringing into my brain? Because I feel like if I took a test on this for accelerated reading tomorrow, I'd fail miserably. The idea is so good.
It's so good. It's unique and fun and fresh.
I mean, it's good enough that I'm super down to read the next two books. You know, like I really want to know. I want to know more about the school. I don't really care about Orion, really. Like, I don't know.
He was very flat for me.
Same. Yeah. I felt that. Like, can you go on about that a little more, Zoran?
I wish he was more involved with the story. And I think that just comes from the fact that this is told from Elle's first person point of view. And obviously viewing the world literally through her eyes. So this is also her like biased perspective. And she's so adamant on that her and Orion aren't dating. And so I just feel we don't get any more insight on him than what Elle already knows about him. And I just feel like,
I think there was an attempt to kind of like make him a little more complex in the sense that like the kids from the New York enclave were like kind of mistreating him almost. Mm-hmm. Like, I think that was like, there was like a certain attempt there that, and then also like that, you know, Elle kind of like grows on him a little, or I guess he grows on Elle, I should say, a little bit
more. Yeah, but like, woe is me. I hate being so popular. It doesn't really like stand very firm in the face of like her being like not even an enclave, like having to fight off like monsters when she was 10 or else die, you know?
Yeah, like, and it's also weird that like, I feel like she got a lot more attention by a lot more people in this book in like a very abrupt way when she's already like been at this school for like 2.5 years and like just like her kind of like rise into.
That was deliberate.
But can you explain more about that? Like, I feel like she totally became kind of like a social butterfly and like very accepting of everybody, like kind of like all of a sudden almost. Like, it was,
yeah,
like, so, it was something to do with that book that she found and stuff. And like, go ahead. Sorry. I'm like
a little bit. Yeah, that's a part of it. But really what she did, she was pretty smart. Is so in this school, I feel like it's best to be ignored by pretty much everybody and everything.
Sure.
Up until the last year, especially because you basically have no chance of getting through the mob. So when you graduate from the school, to those who are not reading these books, when you graduate the school, you basically have to get through this mob, this like mosh pit of monsters that are in the graduation hall, and you have to get out the gates of the front.
Which
and
is how Elle's dad died, by the way, just
totally
catch everybody up,
saving his mother who was pregnant with her at the time, right. And he was eaten by a mom-mouth. Yeah,
and he could still be alive.
And he could be, I mean, he probably yeah, is. Yeah, just yeah, like suffering in that Sarlacc pit monster.
Oof. Oof. Sorry to interrupt you. I just wanted to
No, that was a good interruption. So
there wasn't a body.
Yep.
No body, no death.
Yeah, that's excellent point. So in order to get through the graduation, unless you're just like Johnny Badass and you can really just lay out some hurt on these monsters, you drastically increase your odds of surviving if you have a team with you. So in the last year or two, you don't want to be ignored. You either want to rise in a position of like popularity or show everyone that you're really powerful, because then everyone will want you in their squad. And that's just kind of what they do. The school like break up into little squads that kind of trust each other, and like 4 or 5 man teams that try to bust through these monsters. And they tend to form at like the end of the junior year going into the senior year, and then senior year they like train as a team. I think that's kind of the understanding. So I think that she was kind of keeping her head low for a bunch of different reasons, probably like her not really liking people very much, being primary amongst them. But also now she's like, okay, I need to be popular and powerful. And so she accomplishes popular by letting everyone think that she's dating Orion, because Orion's like this guy who just saves everybody, but he's kind of aloof. He doesn't want to be friends with everybody. Turns out we find out later that he doesn't like being heralded as the hero. It's like uncomfortable for him, being so awesome and everyone's friend, loved by all. And so she just kind of lets everyone else think that they're dating. And because he's like, it's almost like the opposite of that, because he thinks she might be evil. And so he's like following her around for the first couple days. And everyone not hearing from either of them just puts the pieces together and like, oh, they're spending all these time together, they're dating. And so knowing that he is from the New York enclave, one of the most powerful ones, he's got connections, means that they might be able to cozy up to her, and through her connection with Orion, then either get an offer to an enclave after the Skolomance school, or at the very least join their crew to bash through the monsters. So yeah, I think that she was actually pretty intelligent in her drawing attention and popularity to herself and trying to sell that book. She finds a magical, powerful book along the way and sells it for, I don't know, popularity and stuff.
No, I think that was a really solid explanation. I mean, it still just seemed a little bit disjointed to me, because like at the beginning of the book, she was just like so dead set, not dead set, but like so convinced, I guess, that like everybody hated her. You know what I mean? And then I don't think it was like explained very well to me that
she also let herself be a person to be hated. She totally. Didn't try to be redeeming at all.
Well, how do you mean? Like, what do you, I mean, I feel like it makes sense that she would act like that, considering she knows everybody already hates her. Or
no, I guess what I was saying, she was like, she thinks that everybody already hates her. So she just really leaned into that.
Yeah, almost like weirdly problematically, like, and like one of my notes is like, she's oddly self-aware about the hate that she perpetrates upon herself, and then resents everybody for the hatred that she made happen. And I was really frustrated with her as a character, especially the first half of the book.
But it's not her, I mean, it's not like Elle's fault that her affinity is destruction.
No, right? But she goes like way out of her way.
Do people know her affinity?
No, she doesn't tell anybody.
No, I think someone finds out later.
She tells Adia.
I was going to say she's hiding it because of the prophecy that of her being so destruction.
But I think, but the point is that most people are suspicious that she's a Mal, right? Isn't that a thing?
Yeah, because like, she's kind of a loner.
Yeah, but she's like,
I guess that is. Totally. Yeah, I guess that is. I don't know. I just have a hard time like holding it against her. Like she's like when she was brought to her grandparents of her like deceased father, they were just like, no. And then like her mom had to like run her out as soon as like she like met her paternal grandparents and like run her away and like raise her on a commune and stuff. And then she's like in this school. And so like she went into this school knowing she had an affinity for destruction and that was a bad thing. And that there was like a prophecy. But I don't know. I don't think she's as whiny as everybody seems to think she is.
I also feel like I'm a little bit jaded towards that because I did listen to the audiobook and I just feel like Elle was in my ear for 12 hours straight. And it just felt like we've all met that one person where he's just like, oh, I don't want to start a conversation with them because once they get going, they'll never stop. And Elle just never stopped.
Yeah, she'll like punch you in the nose like halfway through it, you know, because like despite her being keenly aware of like the actions that harm and hurt her odds, she's constantly doing the thing that makes her look the worst or is like the meanest and pushes other people away. But like she'll actively, while she's doing this, be like, man, I really need to be making friends so that way I can like not die. And then she'll be like, but despite that, boom, and she'll punch someone else in the nose. And you're just like, what? Like, why are you your own worst enemy while you're actively telling me that you shouldn't be doing this thing? And then you're doing it. And then you're resenting everyone for not liking you. It just seemed like she was like a masochist. And yeah, she was obviously dealt a bad hand, but like, I didn't really see her doing much, at least in the first half of the book, to like turn that around in any way.
Yeah, she's definitely a lot different in the end than in the beginning, for sure.
She grows.
Yeah.
And then every third chapter, she was like, me and Orion are not dating. Just
so you know, reader, this is totally enemies to enemies, not enemies to lovers. Like,
like him.
Yeah.
I have a feeling they're going to be getting, they're going to probably end up having sex, I feel like. Yeah,
they're going to hate boy.
Yeah, totally. And if I'm wrong, I'm wrong, but I don't think I am. But I mean, I do think that it's pretty cool. Like there's some examples of, I don't know. She's just kind of a complicated character. Like when, is it Jack? Who like the guy that like stabs her in the stomach, you know?
Jack,
I forgot that happened.
Yeah. Like that was crazy. Like that was a wild part of that, of the book, but like she could like draw, mana, in like a really malicious way to save herself, but she doesn't. She like decides not to, which I thought was like pretty cool, you know.
Okay.
When she kills like the mom mouth, like she puts herself in danger, and nobody even sees it, you know.
No, she's genuinely a good person.
Spent time inside the mom mouth's mouth.
I think
she had a shield around her.
She was like up in there though, and it like melted around her or whatever.
She had to like pulse her shield to get the guts slip off of it, so it rain onto her. And you know. To your point, Evan, I'm kind of maybe the opposite of it here. I really kind of dislike it in a book where in a character who is very like moral, which is initially great, then turns out to be like foolishly moral or like problematically moral. Like it's really not moral at all. A perfect example is when she's getting attacked by Jack. She could just suck all of the energy out of him and leave him a dried husk. And that's like self-defense. She should do that. Like, he is evil. And then she also, when they're being attacked by all the monsters, while they're fixing, the artificers are doing their thing, fixing the fire hole. Defense thing. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
She's
yeah.
like, I could just totally kill everything here, but like, don't want to use the bad side of magic. So she like throws some knives or something. And you're like, what? Like, yes, I get like shooting innocents with a gun are bad, but if you have a gun and you're being attacked by evil, then like use it to kill them. Like, I didn't really think she was being moral. She was being foolish and potentially unmoral by not using the weapons at her disposal to save the good, right? Or am I wrong?
Do you think maybe it's because of her upbringing and like the way that she's been treated and thought of herself? Yeah. And like, I don't know, like, kind of makes sense. Go ahead, Zoran.
I think for so long she's been conditioned by her life and the school to try so hard not to use her innate magic because bad things happen when she uses her.
Okay, it's like a trauma response.
Yeah, I would say, I mean, maybe a little bit, but also the school's kind of forced her hand, you know, because like she's been, her and the students are being put in these situations where they're being attacked, where it's like she almost feels like she has to use it, but she really doesn't want to give in to that because of like how easy it is for her.
Right. And maybe there's an element of her not wanting to reveal that she can so effortlessly do the bad to everyone
yeah.
else.
Yeah,
as well.
She still has some time left at this school too. I mean, like they're fairly confident that they fixed the issue at the end of this book, but like they don't know for sure, but they're fairly confident. And she still has some time left here before she graduates. So it's like, you know, like she can't just like show her entire hand because there are still people that don't know about her. Obviously,
but she's trying to show her hand the whole like second half. She's like looking for an opportunity to be like, I'm powerful, so that way she can get
I think it's more nuanced than that. I think it's more nuanced than that because I think that she, like, when she realizes, like, oh man, like I'm trying to remember exactly what the line was, but it was mostly like, they don't want to avoid me because of what I am, I'll make them scared to not join me because of what I am. Or something like that.
Okay,
it was like
an all alone.
It was like it was like I'll be such a danger that it makes me an asset almost to like you wouldn't want me on your bad side kind of thing. I think it's a
or
little more
she not even be invited to an enclave.
That's like the confusing part about this book is that she's so on the fence about whether or not she even wants to be in an enclave. You know, like that's like a whole other spinning plate with this book.
I guess like any 17-year-old, they have no idea what they want, right?
Totally. I'm not saying that she needs to have 17? It all figured out. I think she's a teenager. Like
something like that, yeah.
I have no idea how old she is. But yeah, I mean, like the whole, like it seems like there's like parts of the book where she's like, I don't even want to be in an enclave. Like I'm going to be totally fine with myself. Like I got my girls and we're just going to like, we're going to do this all ourselves and we're going to be in an alliance and stuff. And then like the enclaves are stupid because like, you know, there's like, oh, it's almost like a class divide between the people that are in them and the people that aren't in them.
But growing up, she was like, Mom, go join an enclave. So she like went into it really trying to join.
Yeah. And then, I mean, I get the feeling that she's still like some part of Elle still really wants to be in an enclave. I mean,
she
it
wants
seems
safety.
Like, but why wouldn't you?
Right. Totally. Yeah. That's fully understandable. But I don't think that she likes the hierarchical structure that is like being revealed to her. Maybe it's like more of the same that's within the school, because there's very much like a like classy sort of hierarchical, you know, by who's in enclave, who's connected. Yeah, there's cliques, totally.
I would like to discuss the fact that our character's name is fucking Galadriel.
Yeah, I thought that was a little weird. For sure.
Super original.
Lord of the Rings is not even mentioned until about 80% in.
I mean, at least it's mentioned.
She hasn't even seen the movies.
I know. That was weird.
I just think
that's the most unbelievable part about the whole thing.
Galadriel for the main character's name was just an interesting choice. She could have been like Zoran.
And they never explained. Do they explain it? Zoran's honestly a cooler name for that character. Do they ever explain why she's named Galadriel? Is it like her mom's just like a Lotr junkie?
She does explain it. Oh god, where is it?
You can
look
it up, we'll cut it out.
Okay. She was like talking, I have the highlight here.
Nice.
She was talking to Lou and Elle says like a quote from Galadriel. She says, "All shall love me and despair." And then it says, she was eyeing me dubiously. Galadriel in the Lord of the Rings? Is that the movie with the hobbits? I've never seen that. Is that where your name is from? And
nice.
then Elle goes, Lou, I'm so glad we're friends. I said partly because it felt blah, 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 blah. I've never seen the films either. Mom read me the books out loud from beginning to end once a year when I was born, but she was disappointed by the violence of the movies and wouldn't let me see them.
What a weird thing to add to this book. What a
weird thing to add. It was like an attempt at like world building by like throwing in another fantasy author's world.
Like, I feel like it could have been like, oh, her name's Galadriel. Like there, I feel like it could have been like a cute little tidbit of like, wow, Easter egg or like homage.
I mean, like, kind of, but like Galadriel is such a crazy, important, like huge character in Lord of the Rings. Like it'd be like, it's like naming your main character Bilbo. Like, it's just like, yeah, like why Luke did Skywalker. You do that? Yeah.
Like, but now that I'm thinking about it, it's also interesting to think in like the context of this book and in the world that this is set in, that like Lord of the Rings is like a canon thing. And that if Lord of the Rings exists, like there's so many other things that exist too.
Oh, we're in a low world. Like
this is our world
dimension. For sure. I wonder if maybe it's her mother trying to get ahead of the prophecy that her great-great-grandmother just threw out in the room, thus ruining her life and connection with like all of them. Which have we even heard it? I know it's doomsday that she's going to rip apart the world or something, but have we heard it actually?
No, we haven't.
Not verbatim, okay. You know. Yeah. I'm really interested to see what it is.
Her seriously because her name's Galadriel.
Yeah, like as soon as I read that, I was like, interesting choice. Okay. And then it took me a while
to figure out that the L was referring to her because I'm an idiot and I was like, who is this L person?
Because you're like, I already met Galadriel.
Yeah.
Where's L? Yeah, I think that's odd for sure. But I'm glad that she's, I mean, honestly, I'm fine with L instead of her being called Galadriel for the entire book. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
By like people referring to her as like Galadriel like over and over again. We didn't need
that. I don't want
to
be reminded every time.
Yeah, I wanted to kind of like pick at something that Zoran had said earlier about Orion, which is that I felt like pretty much all of the characters were flat, like except for Galadriel. And like, obviously, you know, you have first person narrative, like first person perspective kind of like, yeah, tends to do that a little bit sometimes. I mean, even like in Name of the Wind, we were just talking about it, like Will and Simon are not like super well-rounded out characters, you know, they're just kind of like close friends.
Off the ride for boys' nights to go.
I think it's like a pitfall with like first person, obviously. But I do think that like, yeah, like I definitely felt like there were just like it was like Galadriel and then like some students with names, you know. And I was getting them kind of, even though there were some pretty touching moments, I guess, between Adia and Lou and Galadriel and stuff. Like some of the scenes like in the bathroom and stuff were like kind of cool. But yeah, I don't know.
I feel like if they would have something would have happened to any of the other students, I would have been like, oh, okay, flips page.
And it did all the time. They were dropping like flies. Like, and
it wasn't
just like
caring. Like if something happened to like Adia or Lou or Jack, I would have been like,
we still have two books though. So we'll see.
I did feel a little love between Orion and mainly I just really liked this scene. I'm gonna read it to you guys. And it was afterwards. It was after he, because there's a cool trope that happens throughout the course of the book where even though she's fully capable of saving herself, he's just like always there and just like happens to save
her. I like
that
that was his thing, that he saves people.
Totally.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. Yeah,
though it did initially, I had to get over her because the book starts with her complaining about him saving her. And I was like, oh man, this person's like, I don't know. She just didn't seem like someone I'd like to get a beer with initially, but you know, she came back around in my eyes. So after she saves him at the end of the book with the fire, the cleansing fire going, or she puts a shield over him. He says, you saved my life, he said, sounding baffled about it. I gritted my teeth and turned to look back at him, ready to inform him he wasn't the only one who could be useful on occasion, except he was staring at me with an absolutely unmistakable expression. One I'd seen fairly often in my life, men occasionally aiming at my mom. Not the kind of expression you're thinking of. Men don't lust after mom in a leering kind of way. It was more like looking at a goddess, accompanied by thinking that maybe you might get the goddess to smile at you if you, I don't know, proved yourself sufficiently worthy, and I'd never once imagined anyone pointing anything remotely like it at me. And then she said, I had absolutely no idea what to do with it either. And she goes on to describe her flutters and but like
her flutters
her fluttering feels, but I don't know, I've been in love a few times in my life, and there's always that like special look that person has just for you, you know, it's like your look. And that's really special. And I thought it was a cool, I thought she did a good job of kind of capturing that feel. And I was like, ooh, I feel that. Okay, cool. She's getting that look for the first time in her life. That's like just for her from him, you know?
Yeah, but they're like totally not dating, right?
No,
like
super not even kind
they're
of.
They're not never. Even a little bit, not even just like a tiny yeah. little bit.
Don't
no.
even think about the concept.
Don't even think yeah. about it. I wanted to ask the magic system in here. I feel like some parts of it were pretty cool and I kind of understood it, but what was up with the crocheting thing? Like, is that like the same as jumping jacks? Like, what is...
Or is that the same thing as push-ups too?
I don't know.
It's mental or physical expenditure, I think, is what how I took it. And she's like shitty at it. And so it like is hard for her. It's like, it's like me solving a Sudoku. Like, I'm bad at it. So it would be like, I guess, harvesting a lot of mana from me, maybe?
I guess I feel that with the magic system too, because I was like, a lot of the times I was like, how does it work? Like, I was explaining how many other things work, but I'm like, how does this work? And maybe I'm dumb.
No, it wasn't explained. Like, I don't know how it works.
Mana is mana equal with like or synonymous with energy?
I think mana is like it got popularized with video games, but I'm pretty sure that was already a word in like a different culture.
Yeah, I mean, when the Jews are going out of Egypt, the manna comes from heaven to feed them in the desert.
Yeah, I think there's that. I think it's in years. Like other cultures and stuff too. But I think probably. That yeah, like manna is basically like just like sustenance. It's just magic power, magic go juice,
magic you know? Essence.
Magic essence, okay. Which I mean, is we were talking about Harry Potter before. I mean, that's like it's at least a little bit better than that, because with Harry Potter, it's just whoever yells the loudest, I guess.
I think it's partially because most of this book was like a fever dream to me, and I don't remember half of the things that happened. But I guess I was just trying to remember how doing certain activities like push-ups, crocheting, jumping jacks, making a stew, like all equivocated into creating a little bit of mana. Like, how does it become B?
You got me too. And it must not be energy, right? Because no energy is created or destroyed, right? It's just changing in the form that it takes. And so like her doing jumping jacks is expending the energy. She's not storing up shit when she's doing jumping jacks. So it's like clearly it's doing exercising mentally or physically, has some sort of other mana collecting building thing, and since she's not like releasing it in a spell, maybe it builds up, I guess, though you'd think she'd just like walk fast everywhere and build it up. I don't know. And this is kind of a classic example
in the info dumps for me when she's talking about other shit that's not relevant.
I don't think it was ever explained to us fully. I think it was like almost touched on a little bit, and then maybe we're either left to put the pieces together or explained later, but it was like a good example of us getting told a ton of information that is like adjacent and around it, but not what we really need to have a foundational understanding of this world.
Yeah. Another good example is like how, like if the students like believe in the school correctly, it'll like be a school. And then
that one's weird. Like when you don't like, want things to happen, they're more likely to happen.
Listeners,
like
listeners,
like
if it seems like we didn't read the book, we all read the book. Like if we seem like we don't really know what we're talking about, we're trying our very best. Like this is just a good example of like they're like the information in this book is just delivered in such a weird way sometimes.
Shotgun blasts.
Like, yeah,
and it's hard to explain unless. Like, you just had to be there.
It's all vibes. It's vibes, baby.
Yeah, no, it's vibing. It's like, how do you explain it?
Yeah. And that's why, like, it gave me, that's why it gave me, like, this feeling of kind of like, you know, the stream of consciousness, just like, and this is a thing, and this is a thing, and this is a thing, and this is a thing. And it's like, whoa, 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 whoa. Like, it's like when you're arguing with somebody and they gish gallop and they kind of like bring up like a million different points so you can't.
Gish gallop?
Like,
gish gallop. Never,
oh, have you not heard that term?
That's with that word. What?
That it's like an Oregonian term?
Is no.
No.
It's like when you.
I've never heard it before.
Oregonite?
Gish gallop.
Oregonian.
Oregonian.
It's Oregonian. It's not Oregonian. Anyway, gish galloping is when you like if like Zoran, if you and me were arguing, right? about like a preference of pasta or something.
Like semantics.
You know what I mean? And you were like, I don't like spaghetti pasta. And then I was like, well, what about like cavatappi and macaroni and fettuccine? And like, and I just started like listing a ton of different ones. Right. And then, and I expected you to like give me an argument for each one of those, like why you didn't like them. Like it's like presenting a bunch of arguments in a really short amount of time. So you sound like you don't know what you're talking about. You know what I mean?
The other person doesn't have possibly the amount of time
for that, called gish galloping.
I love that. I've heard it
you
before.
You explained that really well.
Anyway,
should be
what
a word.
I don't even remember what I was talking about. But that's kind of what I felt like was going on sometimes, where it was like so many different things were being brought up. And it's like, it was almost like a, just so you know, this is a thing. Anyway, moving on. And it's like, whoa, slow down. Like, I want to know, like, what's
and then, by the way, me and Orion are not dating.
We are not dating. Yeah. We're absolutely not dating. But yeah, with like the belief thing, I think it's kind of cool though, because if it works in a positive sense, in one sense, like this to the strength of their belief, it kind of works in the opposite sense too. And like, this is a school that's kind of like, everybody in it is like constantly anxious. You know what I mean? Like everybody in it is like constantly on edge because they're all
about to die.
If not about to die, like in danger. Like they're constantly in danger. And like they're all like ratcheting down to this basically impossible thing to survive. Or at least really, really low probability of them surviving. But I don't know. It's just kind of another example of something that I thought was actually pretty cool. And then I just kind of wish I had gotten a little bit more of it. You know, I feel like we were dancing around and touching on a bunch of different stuff in this book, which is why I'm hoping like in the second and third book, maybe it kind of like just slows down a little bit and like really kind of thoroughly explains some more stuff. But I don't have like super high hopes if it's narrated the same, probably going to be a lot of the same. But we'll see. I don't know.
I have a writing question. What do you think? Like, what about the delivery of this book would have made it a better or more digestible or a more coherent experience?
I would have liked, and I'll say one thing and then I'll give the mic to you, Evan. I think this story would have been aided on so many different levels if the narration was not her. If it was like a third party and I wasn't seeing it through her eyes, because it limited my understanding and then expanded it in weird, unrelevant ways. And also made me just like, I don't know. She wasn't the most fun brain to be in all the time, because she's just kind of jaded, whether or not she has good reason to be so. I just didn't really like resonate with her approach on life, I guess. So I thought that it would have a different narrator would have aided the story. What do you think, Evan?
I mean, I think first person totally makes sense because we're first and foremost being taken on a sort of journey with Elle. We're trying to see like her arc, dealing like her personal feelings on this affinity she has, the situation that she's in. I think there's a lot of really good stuff there. I mean, I think that maybe the issue I have is it's like, who are you writing this for, Elle? Like, who are you talking to? That was kind of like the feeling that I got from it. Like, I feel like if we had like a third person framing story or something like that, where it was like,
present tense?
No, it's not present.
Past first,
it's past
tense. Okay.
But I think that like this book being written for somebody who's like literally never heard of any of this stuff. At least that's how I would do it. At least I think that what Naomi Novik seems to be going for here is a sort of like, it's almost, I think Zoran kind of talked about it before too, and I don't know what, I'm not in Naomi Novik's brain, but like, I think it's meant to be kind of like a post-traumatic, like telling of like this situation. It's almost like there's like a hecticness to it. You know what I mean? Like there's like a sort of kind of like she needs to get all of this down. And I think that if that's the case, like it's actually pretty brilliantly done, because like I wouldn't necessarily rewrite it, wholly in like a completely different POV or like a different tense or whatever. I do think though that like the effect, while it's there, it kind of is grating as like a reader like that's coming to this story for the very first time. But I do think that like there is a sort of kind of like frenzied tone to all of this, which actually does kind of work in the setting, you know, like it's there. Yeah, it's a thing. It's just like, for me to read it like personally, it's just kind of like, whoa, oh my god, this is so much.
Well, she doesn't make like friends a lot either, and we don't really. I guess one of my biggest problems with like just seeing the story through her eyes was she's very, I don't know if selfish is the right word, but she's very self-centered and in her own brain for whatever, you know, good or bad reasons. I felt like it harmed my ability to get to know and develop any level of attachment with anyone else in the story besides her, and I didn't really like her very much. So I kind of feel like I'm just kind of left adrift, like not really liking the main, but not getting a chance to see any of the other characters because it's always through her eyes and she doesn't really have an affinity for other people or like communication or relationship.
I haven't really written much in first person, but I've heard that first person can be like really pretty much everything I've ever written is in third person. But like I've heard first person is rough. It's like a really hard way to write. And you do kind of get like this, you know, and I don't even think you meant self-absorbed in like a necessarily negative way. I think
No. She's just
like,
yeah, sorry.
Yeah, but it is a story about Elle. Or it's Elle's story about herself, I should say. But I think that for me, like what's kind of like being subtracted here is that I can just feel like this really awesome world build and these really amazing ideas, and it's kind of like hidden behind the tone, you know.
Totally.
So that's just how I feel about it. So, yeah. Go ahead, Zoran.
Well, I know I was just gonna say that, like, even though like Elle is a grump. And I don't hate grumpy characters. I often like unlikable characters, but I think you're right. There's just something about the tone of Elle's narration that is just, it was very jarring and grating. Plus her just already knowing everything.
Yeah.
Was just,
how would you have rewrote it differently if you were
a writer? So,
well, me neither.
Yeah, you are.
I guess I am. Yeah. I'm just not like as prolific as Evan.
I'm not a writer at all. Like, I have no desire to write, which...
Let me frame it this way. What would you have enjoyed? What would have made your digesting of this story better, more palatable?
Probably learning alongside Elle a little, at least a little
nice.
Bit.
Yeah.
Because she already knew everything about everyone. She already knew how to do the spells that we knew nothing about. She knew how to build things, knew like all of the rules about Malia and Mana and how to do all the things. Like half the time when she was like, I'm going to teach myself this spell, I was like, bitch, you already know how to do it. Like, I don't know. I just felt like half the time when I was reading this, I was like, why am I here? If she already knows everything. And I don't know how to put my finger on it.
That's kind of, I think that's why I like the second half of this book more, is because I feel like it kind of drifts away from like how Elle feels about herself. It's still there. It's still a thing. But I think that it's more, there's a little more action. There's a little bit more kind of like, okay, now we're in this world a little bit. We're going to play around with some of these elements a little bit more. That being said though, Chad, maybe you could clear this up for me. What was up with like the hole that these creatures were like coming through? Like, did Orion create that hole, or was it already like a thing because of the nature of the last room that the graduates go through at the end, and like that not being like maintained? Like, did I miss something there?
Not miss something there, and maybe you can kind of fill in the gaps of my definitely gappy knowledge here, Zoran. But my kind of like my like out on a limb, this is what I think, because they're like, you know, at some point there's this conversation between the seniors that are graduating that year and the juniors, and they're like confront Orion, and they're like, well, because you have been saving so many students, there's like so many more
like that kid that had pushed
monsters.
Somebody into the void, and they got into like that weird altercation. Yeah, I remember that was kind of,
they
cool
mentioned
scene.
This like balance.
Yeah, that was a good scene.
Yeah, it was really interesting. They mentioned this like balance as far as like energy of like, if so many monsters die, then so many students have to as well or something. And because there's this off balance of magical thing between like the good and the bad. And since he had been saving so many students, the magical mana fee that the seniors typically had to pay was larger. The mana tax was larger when they were graduating in order to like balance the scales, I guess. But I don't know where these monsters are coming from. The void?
Let's ask Elle. She knows everything.
Seriously. But like, they can't be coming from the void, because like the library has like the whole ceiling is open. It's like, it's all void.
I did like that the void was like in her room.
Yeah.
And she could just like ask him for stuff. Yeah, I know, right? Like, wild. And then like kids get like pushed into it and stuff. And like, yeah, man, like again, I feel like there is just such a cool world build here. And it was a little bit just marred for me just with the actual eyes on the page reading. But I do want to kind of move into another section here before we start wrapping up where I'm just kind of curious, both of you, like, what do you think is going to happen? Like, what do you think books 2 and 3 are going to be about? Like, we kind of, I mean, it's fairly wrapped up here. I mean, it's not super wrapped up. And like, there was a cliffhanger where Elle's mom is like, you know, don't trust this guy. Like, how does Orion, how does Elle's mom know Orion? Like, how, because Orion's mom is like a pretty important figure too. Right. So
yeah, she's leader of the New York enclave. I got some thoughts, but Zoran, I want to
hear. This is like their senior year now.
This is their, yeah, now. Uh-huh.
They're going into their senior year.
I'm looking at the synopsis for book 2.
Oh, you're looking it up.
No, you can do that. Don't look at the ending. What, to do predictions? She can't look at the synopsis in order to predict. That would just mean she knows.
No, honestly, the synopsis did not help me at all. Because this is all vibes. Why were they?
All vibes.
Vibe it.
I hope less world building happens and more plot. I think Elle and Orion are going to be like all buddy buddy, maybe smooch a few times.
Definitely not.
I feel like they're going to get closer in this book and then there's going to be a betrayal.
Sure.
And I feel like Elle might realize, oh my God, I should have just been for the girls after all. Because girls.
Should have listened to my mom.
Yeah, my mom.
I feel like you're so right. You're nailing your predictions right now, I feel like.
I should have just stayed in the yurt.
Seriously.
Great usage of the word yurt.
This one's hard to predict. Sorry if you can hear my dog in the background. Okay. Part of me also doesn't care to predict because I didn't enjoy this read.
Yeah. Like, well, you got two more books with us, Saran. Now you're committed.
I know. And
fortunately, you like hanging out with us so much.
I
so
like this though because it's cool because like Zoran liked it the least. I think I liked it about the middle, and Chad liked it the most. So this is part of me is
just like I want to just kick my TBR to the side and say, "Screw you both."
No, yeah. I mean we're not. You
you're
can.
In this till the end.
Not, I know. I know.
You're not getting paid, so
contract in blood. It's too late now.
Yes, we make all our guests sign a contract before coming.
So I think we got a little bit of
a palm with the sword and I bled.
Did everything.
Yeah, you guys can't see it, but we're all wounded right here. We did the Faithful and Fallen where we cut our hand open before going into a battle, but we're definitely going to need that hand. So I think we got a little hint of what's going to happen. The primary focus of book 2, when the seniors came down the stairs and they tried to stop our little junior crew from ironing up the wall. They were like stealing the wall from all the monsters coming through and they like face off. And it briefly describes like the fighting honed team that these student seniors have, like, even though like they were pretty bamfed of their graduating class. They were like, wow, we're completely outclassed. Like this team is like smooth. They're working together. So I think this next year is going to be like Dumbledore's army. Probably shouldn't belabor the Harry Potter analogies, but it's going to just be the little group that we've kind of established in this group working together, going through some struggles, struggling together, but ultimately coming out like ready to face their graduation at the end. And then I think you nailed it with a betrayal, but I don't think there will be a betrayal inside the school within our core. That'll be like, Orion's mother will kill Gwen or something like that.
Heard it ends on another insane cliffhanger.
Wow. I thought this cliffhanger was kind of lame, honestly. It was like, what's like a crazy thing that's out of nowhere? And then they just threw that on us. I was like, what? Okay, fine. Like, and what's a crazy mother like doesn't say why?
Maybe she couldn't.
Right, like, is he just like has a bad luck curse on him or is he like a murderer? Like, there's a huge...
know more about Elle's mom.
Well, because like, so the second book is called The Last Graduate, and the third book is called The Golden Enclaves. And the Golden Enclave is mentioned in the book that that Elle finds.
Yes.
And so I think that maybe what's going to happen
is
like I think that Elle is going to, over the course of the second book, realize like, maybe not realize, but just like learn a little bit more about like what's going on outside of the Scholomance
politically.
Yeah, and I think like and not just that, but like maybe that has something to do with some of the kind of more questionable plot points of the first book. And then I think in the third book, we're going to kind of like go into a lot more about what's going on outside of the Skull and Mask, considering I think Elle's mom is like, she's obviously a lot of students know who Elle's mom is. I think Elle's mom has a lot more going on than Elle's giving her credit for. Elle totally. Is a bit of an unreliable narrator here. And
do you think
so,
the third book will happen in the school?
No, I don't.
No, okay. Yeah. Me neither. What about you, Zoran?
Probably not.
Okay. Sorry, I'm going to keep going.
I've heard that each book gets a lot better as it goes. I didn't really have any real expectations for this at all, other than I had heard that it was kind of like, you know, we've mentioned Harry Potter many, many times, but I've heard that it was basically adult Harry Potter. I think that's like some pretty lame, like, book marketing strategies there. Like, it's just not like, if you want adult Harry Potter, go read All the Young Dudes, you know, like that's adult Harry Potter.
This is more like He Who Fights with Monsters in a school setting than it was Harry Potter.
Like, yeah, this gave me like Dungeon Crawler Carl vibes almost, where it was just like, we're just heaping like one crazy thing after another on top of everything. And it's just, and not to mention like the setting is also like a character in itself and like a game piece almost, you know, or the board, totally. I guess, and they're all the game pieces. But
yeah, that's cool. I like that.
Yeah, I mean,
it would have been cool if it was a lit RPG.
It would have been an amazing lit RPG.
I would have understood
it. Like a great video game. Yeah,
it would have really filled in the gap. So the things that I'm desperate to understand about this world, honestly, that would have been great.
That's the cool thing about lit RPG is that, like, you can like literally just like say, like
they have a skill sheet.
Yeah, exactly. You can really tell so much, but it's like part of the mechanics of how the actual world building works. So, like, it's kind of fine.
Dude, He Who Fights with Monsters does it so good.
For that a little bit.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm definitely a little bit disappointed in this book, you know, for a lot of reasons that I mentioned. But like, also, if the second book is going to start elaborating a little bit more on stuff, and kind of like, I just want a little bit of spoon feeding. Just spoon feed it to me, just like a little bit, you know, like make it tasty going down. Like, it doesn't need to be like this haphazard, like just like rambly mess. If it is, that sucks. I'm not super stoked on it, but I'll still keep reading it because I kind of just want to know. I'm like more interested at this point in what's going on with like Elle's mom and Orion's mom and like the enclaves and stuff. And like, why, like how did Elle's mom know about Elle and Orion?
Or was it just like a random piece of advice? Like, oh yeah, his mom has really been like,
but she kind of like at the end of the year, like right at the end.
Maybe Orion's mom had something to do with the death of Elle's dad.
Like, why wouldn't, she's been at the school with Orion this whole time. Like, why wouldn't they?
I just work here.
I don't know. Do we think that maybe it's not her dad? Her dad was not her dad. It's like Orion's dad, and they're actually brother and sister.
You're my sister.
what if that note wasn't from Elle's mom?
Yeah. Ooh, like, dang! And she never gets notes or anyway. You know, she was like surprised to get one because I guess it's expensive or something.
You're like, what if that wasn't?
They would have a parcel service,
right?
There's no owls.
It's like free.
All right, that was the last like Harry Potter reference of the night.
It feels like they're in like the Big Brother house, and they just have no contact with the outside world.
Yeah, combined with like the silo. Do you ever read like Wool, Dust, Sand, or whatever those books? Yeah, I thought it was actually a better show than it was a thing. But it's really a book series that's hanging all of its laurels on like one big mystery, and then it's like, I don't know. And this is kind of similar, except there's like a lot more violence happening within the silo, and it's a little bit, I guess, I don't know about more mysterious, but there's a lot more unknowns for sure.
Well, I think that's going to do it for us today, everybody. Thank you so much for listening to this episode for the first book in Skull and Mask. I think
Listen to these two. Join us and read it, guys. This is awesome. I'm having fun. It's short.
To be totally honest, I mean, like, I was a little bit like kind of whatever about this, but like as for this conversation, I'm like, I don't know, like there's probably some pretty cool stuff about to happen. So,
all right.
Like, yeah,
I might start book two tonight when I'm horizontal and in my bed now.
Yeah,
definitely.
Yeah, I think this raised me from like, you know, a 6 to like around like a 7, 7.5. Like, I'm kind of interested in what's going on now.
I'm chilling at the 4 still.
Well, Zoran, seriously, thank you so much for being on the podcast with us. It's just been really awesome.
No, thank you so much for having me.
We have 2 more episodes to do with Zoran, and then we're almost done with 2023. We just got to finish up Red Rising and Binti, and then moving right into Malazan and Throne of Glass. So
The amount is going of by
reading
so
y'all
fast.
Have read, the words can't fix that. The amount of reading y'all have done this year is insane.
We feel like we didn't as much as we wanted to.
That's a top level compliment, honestly, because like I know you read a lot too, and that means a lot, honestly. And you were, you know, if I can just how do I say this? Give you some compliments. You did a very good job, and I enjoyed you in the conversation. You know, Evan and I have kind of like a flow, and we obviously, you know, are besties, so we work really well together as a team. And you were an excellent addition to that team, and added in like let's see, certainly not the pineapple to the pizza, but like an additional meat that really zested it up. And so like, I really appreciate you taking the time to do it. And I'm stoked to have you for the next two episodes. And we'll probably steal you for some more in the future, as long as these books are good enough to not totally scare you away.
No, that would be so much fun.
All right, everybody, go read the first book, go read the second book, go read the third book. If you're listening to this in the future, thank you for listening to us in the future. We really appreciate you. I'm talking directly to you in 2026. Yeah, hopefully things are cool. They're not super cool right now, but hopefully they get cooler. Let us know. We'll be there with you.
They're
cool here. Yeah, in this specific, these three rooms we're in.
Yeah,
pretty cool.
Boom, cool.
All right, everybody. Hope you all have an awesome rest of your day. Thank you so much for listening. And of course, happy reading.
Bye, everybody.
Bye, friends.